Well, good morning again. It has been an absolute joy to be with you this morning to worship our God together and to remember the sacrifice of His Son. This morning's topic is walking like Jesus. And I think there is so many lessons we can learn by learning to walk like Jesus. Open your Bibles, if you will, to Deuteronomy, the sixth chapter. I want to start off with a verse here. This is a verse of Moses talking to the people. And he's given them instructions. This is before they have entered into the land. Deuteronomy 6, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in the house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on your doorpost of your house and on your gates." In this passage, Moses is directing the people to teach their children about God. And I think it's very interesting that one of the ways he tells the people to teach them is as they're walking by the way. We don't do as much walking now as they did during the times of the Bible. Walking was an activity that they did constantly. If you need to go anywhere, most of the time you walked. Three times a year, a lot of the Israelites, the men especially, were required to go to Jerusalem for the feast days. And they walked. And if you were a family going from Nazareth, like Jesus' family was, and you were walking down to Jerusalem three times a day, you had plenty of time to talk. And I'm sure that this verse came to mind. I'm sure Joseph and other fathers, as they were walking with their children to Jerusalem, would think about this verse and say, "I need to take this opportunity to teach my children about God." And as they were walking, they would say, "Look, do you see that field over there? That's the area of Dothan. Do you remember the story of me telling you about how Joseph was sold by his brothers? And he went down into Egypt. Remember, that's how our people were there? Well, that he sold them right over there at Dothan." And then they walk a little bit farther and they come up on Shiloh. And he says, "Oh, listen, see that hill over there? For many years, the tabernacle. Before we had a temple, we worshiped God in the tabernacle. And the tabernacle sat right over there. And we came together to worship God." And before long, they would come to Gibeon and they would say, "Do you remember the story I told you about how Joshua was coming into the land and he was in a battle and God made the sun stand still? Do you remember that? That happened right over there at Gibeon." They taught their children as they walked by the way. So many lessons we can learn about that. And of course, the lessons that we should learn come from Jesus. We need to be walking like Jesus. We need to be learning things about Jesus as we walk in this life. And now, please turn over to 1 John, the second chapter. John makes an interesting point here about walking like Jesus. In this verse, he says, "Whoever says, 'I know him,' but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the word of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." So this verse brings up two questions in my mind. And the first question is, do we abide in Jesus? Hopefully we can all answer that question yes, or at least we're trying to. We do abide in Jesus. And so the next question is, well, how did Jesus walk? Because if we're to abide in Jesus, we're to walk the way He walks. And so we better know the way Jesus walked. And so that's what I want to do this morning. What I want to do is answer the question, how did Jesus walk? And we're going to do that by looking at some of the places where Jesus walked. We're going to take a look at some places around the land of Israel and make some points about that. So, we're going to flip around in our Bibles a good bit this morning. I hope you don't mind. Look in Luke, the second chapter. In Luke, the second chapter, Jesus is a young boy, 12 years old. And he and his family have gone to Jerusalem, just like I mentioned, for one of the feasts. And beginning in verse 41, it says, "Now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast had ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, 'Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you with great distress.' And he said, 'Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?' And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. He went down with them to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart." What you're looking at are the southern steps to the Temple Mount. Jesus walked here. Jesus walked here. During the first century, King Herod had rebuilt the temple. We talked about this yesterday afternoon. It was and still is a monumental structure. The entire Temple Mount area covers about 39 acres, and no doubt this would have been an awe-inspiring building to a young boy from Galilee. He never would have seen a building like this in Galilee. And so what lesson can we learn from Jesus as he walked up these steps? Well, we can learn that he knew what his purpose in life was. He knew that he was there to be about his Father's business. And that begs the question, do we know what our purpose in life is? I'll admit, that's a tough question to answer sometimes. We have a lot of distractions in our life. I know I do. I mean, my job. You know, do I work those extra hours that may take me away from my family and from worshiping God? Do I take that promotion? You have to think about that. What about family and friends? Do I spend time with them instead of going to church? Entertainment. You know, how do we spend our time? Do we sacrifice time with entertainment that could have been better spent either attending church or helping someone in need? And these are tough questions. They're tough questions, and I admit. And sometimes there are not clear-cut answers to all those questions. I'm a father. I have 3 kids. I'm in the midst of raising them. And distractions, If I have a day that does not have distractions, it was not a normal day. That's just the way it is. I understand the difficulty in answering some of these questions, but you need to answer in the context of what you want to do with your life. So what is the purpose of your life? Matthew 6:33 tells us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. It's interesting that Matthew doesn't tell us that we can't have other interests. We can't have, there's other things we can't seek. Absolutely we can. But we need to seek first Jesus and the kingdom of God. So do you want to walk like Jesus? Walk up these steps and know what the real purpose of your life is. Let's look at Matthew 4. Later on in Jesus' life, he's begun his ministry. And in verse 18 of Matthew 4, he records for us, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw 2 brothers, Simon, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them. And immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. What you're looking at is a view of the northern edge of the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked here. Jesus walked here. The hill in the distance is Mount Arbel. And for those of you who are history buffs, the hill in the far distance with the flat top is a mountain called the Horns of Hattin. There was a famous crusader battle fought there in the 12th century. And in the passage we just read, Jesus walked around this portion of the lake. And what lesson can we learn about Jesus walking here? Jesus saw potential in others. Fishing is a noble profession. And every time I'm involved in some sort of fish fry, I'm thankful there are fishermen out there because I love eating fish. But Jesus saw that there was more that these guys could do. How do you look at other people? How do you look at other people? It's been my experience that everyone has potential in the kingdom of God. Everyone has something they can add. Sometimes potential is easy to see. Sometimes you have someone who's a good singer, and they're not afraid to stand in front of a group of people. Well, that person can make a wonderful song leader. But sometimes potential is not as easy to see. Perhaps someone is a good organizer. I haven't walked through all the classrooms and everything that you have here, but if your classrooms are typical of classrooms perhaps where we worship, there are probably some teaching materials that are less than perfectly organized. There may be someone in this audience that's a good organizer. Have them go in there and organize it. Solicit help from someone like that. Everybody has the ability to help out. But it's not just enough to recognize that someone has potential. You have to reach out to them. That's what Jesus did. He saw these men in a boat and realized they had something to offer. And then he reached out to them. I have to admit, this is something I struggle with. You know, if I'm given a task, I just like to take care of it myself. And that's bad because it often means that I get completely overloaded. And when I get overloaded, nothing gets done well. I need to be humble and look for the potential in others to get them to help me. Deacons do this a lot. I serve as a deacon at the congregation where we attend, and it is the easiest option is always to just do a job myself. But that's not the best thing to do. You need to get other people involved. Everyone has potential. And here's a little secret. Most of the time, they want to help. They want to help. They just need to be asked. Older people have experience. Younger people have enthusiasm. Get everyone involved. When that happens, good will be accomplished for the kingdom of God. You want to walk like Jesus? Take a walk around the Sea of Galilee. Look for potential in others and then get them involved. Let's look at Luke 4. In Luke 4, Jesus has come to Nazareth. He actually didn't come here. This is where he lived. But he's come back to Nazareth. And in verse 16, it says, he came to Nazareth and where he had been brought up. And as was his custom, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of the sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." He rolled up the scroll and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, Today, this scripture is being fulfilled in your hearing. And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, is this not Joseph's son? And he said, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. What you have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came all over the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them were cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath, and they rose up and drove him out of town and brought him to the bow of the hill on which the town was built, so that they could throw him off the cliff. But passing in their midst, he went their way. And he went down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath. I have to tell you a little bit about this picture. This picture is of a Roman road in the area of Galilee between Nazareth and the Sea of Galilee. I had seen this road on Google Maps and I'd read articles about it. And as a few of you know, I was in Israel last year and earlier this year with a film crew filming some videos about the life of Jesus. And I wanted to go out and see this road. This isn't a road that I can easily take a tour group to. We had to park the bus, and we had to climb over two different guardrails, cross a highway, through a ditch, and then up a hill and walked about 20 minutes until we came to the top and we found it. And what you have up there is a Roman road that was built in the first century that led from Nazareth down to Capernaum. Jesus walked on this road. Jesus walked here. So what lesson can we learn about Jesus walking here? We can learn that we shouldn't let spiritual discouragement get us down. Being a Christian is not easy. God never said it would be. And there are sometimes things that happen in life that can get you down. Perhaps you've been teaching someone about Jesus and they just turn their back on Jesus. And in reality, turn their back on you as well. That can be discouraging. Perhaps you have a family member, perhaps this family member is a Christian, been diagnosed with a serious illness. That can be discouraging. Perhaps there are things that happen in your life that just simply aren't fair. You lose your job. You have a friend that drinks alcohol constantly, but you're the one with a liver problem. Sometimes people don't follow through on promises to you. Sometimes life's just not fair. Or you could be in the situation that Jesus was dealing with. Think about this. Jesus had just spoken the truth to some of his own friends and neighbors in Nazareth. These are people who had known him for years. He knew them. They were fellow Jews, but they tried to kill him. They were so mad at him. Sadly, sometimes even our own brethren let us down. And it's sad when that happens. I mean, clearly some of the saddest times I've had in my life is when I was let down by brethren. Luckily, this is something that rarely happens, but occasionally it does. And when it does, it can be incredibly discouraging. And when things like this happen, my first reaction is to say, forget it. I'm not going to deal with this anymore. But that's the wrong thing to do. You want to walk like Jesus? Leave Nazareth, walk down this road, and go to Capernaum. Don't let discouragement force you to stop doing the things that you need to be doing. You do that, you walk like Jesus. Let's look over at John 4. In John 4, we have a beautiful story of Jesus walking through Samaria. Beginning in verse 1, it says, now when Jesus learned that his Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. And he came to the town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from his journey, was sitting beside the well, and it was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. And Jesus said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was that is asking you, 'Give me to drink,' would you have asked him? And he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw the water with, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us this well and drank from it himself, and as did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me of this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." What you're looking at are the hills in Samaria. Jesus walked here. And as you can tell, the hills are high and the valleys are deep. If you or I were walking through this valley, guess what? We would get thirsty. And so did Jesus. He stopped at a well. He stopped at this well, in fact. This is in the basement of a Greek Orthodox church in the modern city of Nablus. And although during the time of Jesus it would have been outside and it wouldn't have had the nice structure on top of it, there's very solid historical evidence to show that this is the well that was dug by Jacob and his men 3,500 years ago. Jesus spoke to the Samaritan woman, somewhere within the frame of this picture. Jesus was here. What lesson can we learn from walking through here? What lesson can we learn from Jesus about walking in Samaria? We can learn that we need to spend time with people who are different than we are. You know, it's easy to spend time with people that are very similar to us. And quite frankly, that's not a good thing. I have a lot of friends, and the reason they're close friends is because we share similar interests. But with that being said, we need to be willing to spend time with others. Far be it for me to actually quote something from TV in a sermon. However, a few years ago, there was a TV show on called Sports Night. Tabitha and I loved watching that show. And there was an actor in there. Robert Guillaume was the actor. He played a character called Isaac Jaffe, and he was the managing editor of a sports talk show, basically. He was having a discussion with one of his employees at one time, and he said, "If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. If you are smart, surround yourself with smart people who think differently than you." And I'm not about to give a blanket acceptance to that statement, but I do agree with the sentiment of it. We need to be willing to spend time with people who are not like us. Not only willing, we need to look for opportunities to do so. That's what Jesus did. Matthew 9, he went and ate with publicans and sinners. Luke 7, he had a prostitute wash his feet. He spent time with people that were different from him. Why did he do this? Well, he did it because he knew what we all deep down know, is that we're not really different. We're all made in the image of God. We're all the same. You want to walk like Jesus? Walk through Samaria. Stop at a well and talk to someone who is not like you. And when you do so, use that opportunity to teach them about God. Because that's what Jesus did. Let's look at Matthew 14. I got two more for you. Matthew 14. Beginning in verse 22, we read, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, 'It is a ghost,' and they cried out with fear. But immediately Jesus said to them, saying, 'Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid.'" What you're looking at is sunrise over the Sea of Galilee. Jesus walked here. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Barry's about to ask me to walk on water. Well, yes and no. But there's a valuable lesson we can learn from this. And it's this. Won't you try the impossible? Try the impossible. Because what you may find is that what you think is impossible is not impossible at all. Satan has many weapons in his arsenal. But probably the most powerful weapon he has is doubt. How many people have not been taught the gospel because Christians said, "I don't think I can do that"? As soldiers of the cross, we should be willing to do whatever we can to further the cause. Perhaps you think you could never teach an adult Bible class. Give it a try. Perhaps you think you could never stand in front of this audience and lead a public prayer. Give it a try. Perhaps you think you could never organize and present materials to a children's Bible class. Give it a try. And I tell you, where we worship at Capshaw, one of the best Bible class teachers that we have to our younger children is a 30-year-old man. They love him, and he loves it. Perhaps you don't think that you could ever know what to say to someone who's struggling. Give it a try. You may find out that not only can you do something, but you actually enjoy it. But you'll never know until you try. You want to walk like Jesus? Walk on the Sea of Galilee and try something that you think is impossible, because you may learn that you can actually do it. One more. Let's look at Luke, the 19th chapter. In Luke 19, Jesus has just spent time in Jericho. He has spoken with Zacchaeus. And he's going to Jerusalem. And in chapter 19, in verse 28, he says, "When he had said these things, he went ahead, going up to Jerusalem." What you're looking at is the eastern side of the wilderness of Judea. The city in the foreground is modern-day Jericho. And there is a road that goes up this hill all the way from Jericho to Jerusalem. Jesus walked here. He walked here. What lessons can we learn from Jesus walking here? Well, we can learn that you need to be willing to make sacrifices for others. As we discussed yesterday in our first lesson, the distance between Jericho and Jerusalem is about 12 miles as the crow flies. On this road, it's about 14 or 15 miles. Jericho is about 800 feet below sea level. Jerusalem is about 2,700 feet above sea level. So over those 12 or 14 miles, you gain about 3,500 feet in elevation. And as you can tell from this picture, the road is across the Judean wilderness. It's hot, it's dry, there's no trees. No shade. Sun is continually beating down on you. In the past, I've actually done a good bit of hiking in the Smokies. One of the things I've learned is that you cannot walk and talk at the same time. All of the energy that you're using talking needs to be spent walking. And so my guess is that Jesus, as he went up this hill, he didn't do a lot of talking. He did a lot of walking. And when you're alone in your thoughts, you think about a lot of things. And I wasn't there, so I don't know exactly what Jesus thought about. But if I were to guess, I would guess that he probably thought about how hot and dry it was. And he probably thought about the week ahead of him and what he was about to face. And he probably thought about his friends and family that he's been speaking to for years, and they just didn't quite get it yet. And he was probably thinking about you and me. And he knew that he needed to get to the top of that hill, or we would have no hope. What are you willing to do for others? What are you willing to give up for others? You know, we often answer that question, and I do this too. I would do anything for you. Just call me. I'll do anything for you. But let me tell you, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? Making a true sacrifice is very, very difficult. Because making a true sacrifice doesn't, you just don't give up something for someone else. Making a sacrifice means that the recipient may never know what you have done. And guess what? There are probably people who have made sacrifices for you over your life that you know nothing about. I've had that happen a number of times to me, in which something will happen and years later I will find out that the reason this good thing happened to me was because someone else sacrificed something for me. We need to be willing to do that for others. In our life, we have opportunities to help. They may not be convenient. They may not be in your best interest. They may not be easy. So what should you do? You should walk like Jesus. You need to walk up the ascent of Adumim, this road between Jericho and Jerusalem, and you need to be willing to make true sacrifices for others. And if you do that, you'll be walking like Jesus. You want to walk like Jesus? Recognize the purpose of your life and serve God. Look for the potential in others and then get them involved. Don't let spiritual discouragement get you down. Spend time with people who are different than you. Try the impossible and make true sacrifices for others. And if you do these six things, you'll be walking like Jesus. And that's my lesson for this morning. I have one other picture to show you, because part of walking like Jesus is knowing when not to walk either. What you're looking at is a picture of the Eastern Gate on the eastern side of the old city of Jerusalem. I took this picture from the Church of All Nations that sits on the traditional location of the Garden of Gethsemane. I want you to picture this picture completely dark in the middle of the night. This gate was actually built in a later period, but it sits on top of a gate that was there in the first century. In the Gospels, we read that while Jesus and his disciples were in the Garden of Gethsemane, that a band of soldiers with weapons and torches and lanterns came to arrest him. Jesus knew they were coming. For at least 10 or 15 minutes in the middle of the night, he could have seen those torches coming down the hill out of Jerusalem across the Kidron Valley to arrest him. He knew why they were coming. Sometime walking like Jesus means standing still. And that's exactly what Jesus did here. You know, we often sing the song, at least we do where we worship, He could have called 10,000 angels. He could. But He stood there for you and me. He allowed Himself to be arrested, falsely accused, beaten, made fun of, scourged, and crucified. And He did that for you and me. You want to walk like Jesus? Then set your mind to do that today. If you have a reason to come to the board, we would love to help you. We ask you to come to the front while we stand and while we sing.